used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 358. That's according to Pat. So if it's wrong, it's not my fault. Pat said it. It's Pat's fault.
Yeah, because it's certainly, you know, not something you can look up.
I could, but it would have taken extra time, and we're right on schedule. You know, this is very timely, and we're very...
Okay.
I'll stop now. It's gonna be a short one, hopefully. Now watch this go 2 hours. Josh isn't here, you know, he just talks and talks and talks. And we only got one question. So...
That's all right.
It's okay. A little bit. Oh, there's some news. I didn't look at all of it that closely, but I saw something about Marvel doing some animated shows at Hulu, including Hitmonkey and MODOK.
MODOK, yeah.
And
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah, the Offenders.
Yes.
And
again, so
Kevin Smith's first raid, the Howard the Duck. Patton Oswalt is supposed to do MODOK, I think.
Yeah.
There's Tiger and Dazzler.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited. I saw that you bought Hit Girl.
Yes.
So I can't wait to hear your talk about it next week.
I just
Kevin
read
Smith
it.
Wrote. Did you just read it sitting here?
Yeah. It took like 2 minutes.
It took me about 45 seconds because Jermaine asked me to look at it. He was more concerned with the school shooting aspect of it. Yeah. But I said, I think I just read that in 45 seconds. So that was a little disappointing for a $4 purchase. So there, we've reviewed that. Okay, we can check that off next week's list.
You got us all dorked up, you know that, right?
Dorked up?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're supposed to start off on Comic Man.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
But see, we do the banter. You're right, I went into news first. I'm sorry.
That's okay, I mean.
We'll go there. It's Tim walking around. It's throwing me off, man.
Tim walks around every week.
This week it's different. He's doing it different. Way to go, Tim.
This time he started off on the right foot instead of the left.
Oh, man. He's wearing a black t-shirt. That's what's throwing me off.
You're wearing a black shirt.
No, mine is navy blue. Thank you very much. I do have black shirts.
It's not
this
red.
No, because I don't have any long sleeve reds. So. And I've worn... The only red shirts I have are Daredevil shirts, and I've worn those the last 2 weeks because we had the last week of Man of Steel and the new Daredevil number one. So.
The last week of Man of Steel.
I mean, Man
Without
Fear. It's late. I've been here 11 hours.
You're not a real comic book guy, are you?
I am. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Dave.
Spencer.
Okay, now do you feel better?
No, I do.
Okay, good.
Now, all is right with the world.
All is right in the world. Okay.
We're back.
Back to Pat's news.
It's not Pat's news.
No! Abdicated his throne.
Oh, it's far from a throne. It's kind of a beat-up chair. It's been run over by a car.
It has.
When it's got...
Well, not run over, technically. Pushed by a car.
Well, that's only because Adam was here to stop it.
Well, he was in one of the chairs that stopped it. The other one just slid nicely, covered in glass, and my neon from my neon signs. But. Good times.
You do have a new wall.
I do have a new wall.
And a new layout.
And posters. You have posters out there now?
Yep.
So you can advertise wonderful books like Second Coming. Oh, too soon!
That was way too soon. I'm angry. I'm still angry about that. But yeah, in DC's... Yeah, that was a good segue, Pat. Thanks. In the new DC email, they announced they canceled Second Coming by Mark Russell.
So, Second Not Coming.
Second Not Coming. Also, Batman Damned 3 has been canceled and will be resolicited at a later date. And then
it'll be called Batman Darned, and it'll be all
ages. Dang it. And it'll be all ages with chibi Batman. Yes.
Darning socks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole issue.
And then Doomsday Clock got pushed back yet again. So,
I thought the Doomsday Clock got pushed forward for like 8 seconds of midnight.
So, hopefully the next issue will come out sometime in 2019. starting to have my doubts. And that's not good, considering it's February.
It's got, what, 4 issues left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to finish this year. Because the last one came out in November, December. I'm going to say November.
Yeah.
So if we're looking 5-6 months between issues.
The original Watchmen had problems.
Yeah,
too,
but not like this. No. No, I mean, he's not even doing like a page a week. Oh, no, he's probably doing a page a week, but well, it just seems
it's
really
a quarterly
slow.
Now, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Marvel's really amping up their promotion for War of Realms, making it more of an all-line book. I just saw something where it was like Spider-Man in a Thor helmet and stuff, and I'm like...
Punisher is like shooting a... Like AK into like a monster's mouth.
Yeah, like, and I'm just like
I read Space Punisher. Put Punisher in space. It doesn't work.
My only concern is I just don't know how much excitement there is for this event. Thor's not doing that well for me. I mean, it's doing okay, but nothing huge, nothing like it was like back during Fear itself.
Okay, but that was 10 years ago.
Maybe, but I'm just thinking that's when Thor was really big. Now you're doing an entire event based on a Thor storyline. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm worried that it's going to derail some of these books that might tie into it. Unless they're doing all new books for the event, a la Secret Wars, which is an ordering nightmare.
Yeah, I think
they're
just all like minis, I think.
Yeah, so that makes it even more fun to try to order these and figure them out. And... Yeehaw! So we'll see.
My order.
But thanks, Pat. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Put your finger down.
But when they do stuff like this, I mean, it's just...
I hear you.
I can't get into a book that every 2 months to 3 months gets completely derailed by an event that really it has no logical place tying into.
Right. I'm happy that it's big where the last couple events, like we had, what, 3 events finish on the same day in December where it was like Spider-Geddon and Infinity War and Extermination all finished, and it was like... Nobody noticed, you know, only the people reading those individuals. They weren't, you know, big events. So it's nice to have another big event that they'll do some promotion on and get some interest on. But yeah, if it's all going to be minis tied into it, it's like, and you're ordering not to lose instead of ordering for excitement and to win. So
isn't this all like wrapping up like Aaron's run?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he's leaving, but it would make sense if this was his big finale. Then he kills off Thor with Ragnarok, and we go back to
the beginning.
Nothing.
Gives him his arm back.
Yeah, I never understood that. I never understood that.
The golden arm.
Yeah.
I want them to go back to him like and AVX and reset the universe from there.
Him and the new Cyclops need to have an arm wrestling contest.
Can Winter Soldier get in on that too?
Yeah, he can take one air.
Round robin, best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So, that's all the news I can really remember. It is interesting. I did see something where Disney owns part of Hulu.
Yes,
so
they own, like,
it looks like that'll probably be the place where we're gonna, like, because we already have Runaways there, and that's gonna be the landing place for their series. Not necessarily that they're gonna move. Like, we'll get Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage there now, but it looks like future ones will be at Hulu rather than Netflix.
Yeah, because they can't do anything with those characters for 2 years.
Right. Or maybe we will later.
But really, in the scheme of things, that's not that long, considering all the other content that, like, you know... Yeah, it gives the actors and stuff more time to do something else if they wanted to and then come back.
Well, and I wonder how that works. Is it 2 years before the new one can come out, or 2 years before they can start production?
Yeah.
Which then pushes out to 3 to 4 years.
True. Didn't think about that part.
Although, if they wanted to do that, I mean, they could get smart and have everything ready to go and just film them back to back. But, like, the best episode of... You know, it was Luke Cage, was when Iron Fist was in it in this season. Like, just bite the bullet and do Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
Those two work well together. And the Iron Fist show was not good. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. probably because you picked the guy that can't do kung fu to be a lead in a kung fu show.
Well, that's a minor issue.
No. They could have used an Asian actor.
Well, the character's not Asian, so I'm not. There was a firestorm over that.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing Gus cookies?
Because I have cookies.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
After you eat your donut.
Okay. After Tim yelled at me about the donut.
You can't have any cookies till after you eat your donut.
Okay, fine. That's more like it. That's more like it, Tim.
That's why you never see, like, a vegan pudding store. Because you don't eat your meat, can't have any pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got one question. This was from Michael. It was an in-person question.
Is it, why do we still do this?
No, it was not.
Why haven't
it
you was stopped? Not.
It was not. It says, on team books, which villain would make a good team leader if they were to change over? And like we talked a little bit about Magneto having already done it. But is there other villains of other books that you think where the team lead would actually, the villain would actually be based on his makeup and stuff, you know, if he chose to no longer be a villain, or if he decided to be a villain lead of villains?
Sinestro. Sinestro would be a great leader.
Well, he kind of was. I mean, yeah, he had his, I mean, he's yeah. had his own book, and he's yeah. had the core, so.
But even, like, if you want to turn him anti-hero.
Yeah.
He, you know, he has the makeup and what we've seen of him to already be there.
I was going to say Captain Cold.
Yeah, again, because he's done the Rogues and he has that leadership there.
And he was even on the Justice League for a little bit whenever, kind of on it whenever Luther.
But Forever Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was more of a henchman than anything else, and that's, I mean, he's a good enough character. He kind of holds his own. He doesn't need to be a henchman. Dave? Hmm. Reggie Mantle doesn't count.
I like the Legion of Reggies. That would be good.
Legion of
Jughead. We only need one Reggie. Only need one Reggie.
To go up against Super Jughead or something.
Well, no, because you got Zombie Jughead and Werewolf Jughead, Vampire Jughead.
Yeah. Slow down. Slow down, Pat. That might be too many Jugheads.
No, they have all that.
I know they do.
So it's like Enter the Jughead verse?
Yeah.
Ooh. I can hog the cookies.
That would work. I would buy that.
Would you watch that? Would you watch that animated movie, Dave?
That's messed up.
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be nice.
No, I can. That's culturally insensitive. Just not woke. That's the problem.
You're not woke, right? I'm the least woke person you've met. Yeah.
Especially in Washington County. So, who do you think, Dave?
I don't know. What do you think about Brainiac?
I think it depends on.
Has he been around lately?
He just showed up in the Justice League book. Who showed up?
Seems he would have the makeup to lead some kind of supervillain team.
To me, not a supervillain team. I took it as like he turns over a new leaf and does a hero team.
Okay.
But
I misunderstood.
Assuming his collection of cities is altruism to preserve those species, you could argue he is trying to do a good thing. But, I mean, when you typically think of Brainiac, you don't think of him as being a good guy in any way.
We had Dr. Doom change over to a hero in the past year or two also.
See, but Doom is one that I never
considered bad to begin with.
I think all villains.
No, I never consider him good. Like, no matter what, I don't trust Dr. Doom. His name is Dr. Doom.
That's what makes a good villain, though, is that they think they're doing right.
Yeah. Although I guess Sinestro is kind of the same thing. It's like Sinister's in your name, dude. That's the problem. All the good villains have names to tell you you're not supposed to trust this guy. Colin?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. We talked about it a lot when he was here.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to share what you gave away podcasts?
No, but it mostly was like just Magneto and stuff. Different X-Men. We're like, well, wait, I'm Magneto. Oh, wait, Emma Frost. No, wait, they already did that. But, you know, not that she was naturally a good leader, but she took up the mantle when Cyclops went wacko. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Cobra Commander.
No.
No, because he'd just tell everybody to retreat. That wouldn't work. Man. We gotta get more questions.
Yeah, let me. I was double checking, but.
No, we don't have more questions.
Nope. Right. Got nothing.
Spencer, what'd you read?
Justice League. Justice League. This is kind of like a one-off story between Martian Manhunter and Luthor.
What is the deal with Martian Manhunter?
Okay, he lived on Mars, and everybody else died. There was fire.
That's actually not true.
Well, that's what we thought long ago, but there was fire. And so now he doesn't like fire. It's bad.
We know that.
Fire,
and,
bad.
And he likes, what are they? Chocos or something? He likes Oreos, but they're not called Oreos.
Yeah. I meant more along the lines of, is he evil?
He was brought to Earth by a scientist back in the 50s.
Yes. Yeah, as a little kid. He was Martian Manhunter boy.
He became a police officer under the name John Jones.
I'm aware of.
Well, you asked what was up with Martian Manhunter, so I'm just filling in.
I meant recently.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was trying to be helpful.
I don't know what they're doing. Like in
you're
that,
failing.
I haven't got that Maxi like series that he's doing. I haven't got any of that, so I don't know what they're doing in that. But in this,
that one was good.
But in this series, they showed that he got like abducted when he was a kid, and the scientist who abducted him was Luther's father, and like they had like this Luther would like do like this thing on his shirt where he'd be able to like write out messages on his shirt that only Martian Manhunter could see because of like the way his eyes worked and stuff like that.
It said like obey, and he had to put on sunglasses.
No, he's just able to change like whatever with his eyes to see like the infrared or whatever. But then you know it turns out they were like kind of friends when they were younger, and but the government wiped like did something to their mind so they couldn't remember. And whenever he because they were gonna
wait, Lex Luthor and Martian Manhunter were friends when they were younger.
Yeah,
and Lex Luthor and Superman were friends when they were younger.
Yeah, I guess. Because they were going to try to kill him, but he did something to like help him escape. So then I don't know how, when he got older, how he got here, like if he got trapped again, you know. But so they're having their, because the book opens up with them like stuck on like this, I think it's Mars, being chased by like these weird like creatures there. And is able, and he, throughout the whole thing, he's trying to get Luthor to remember and trying to get him to, like, change sides, like, you know, like, hey, you were once, like, good, you know, and to try to stop everything going on with the Tatati and everything like that. But it turns out, you know, they ended up going their separate ways at the very end. But I thought it was a pretty cool standalone kind of one-issue story. I guess this is supposed to kind of start kicking off the new story arc for the book, but it was good. Let's see. Green Arrow. This is the next to last issue of the series, and it's the second part of the end of last issue, Count Vertigo breaks out of his jail, and, like, his powers are, like super amplified because the whole time he was in jail, he was doing like meditation and training his mind. So now he can like literally not, instead of just kind of making you feel dizzy, he can like literally like wrap like the space and stuff around you to where you like you're running up buildings because everything's kind of like upside down and messed up. And so through the whole fight, you know, he's asking for like where Rory's at, because they used to know each other back whenever Rory was heavy into the drugs and stuff like that. And it was a nice issue because to actually kind of stop the conflict, Green Arrow told him about him dying. And it kind of just, he was so shocked that it kind of just stopped there. Everything went back to normal. And they had this kind of like actually nice conversation about like, you know, because Count Vertigo was worried about like he got back into drugs. And he was like, no, it was, he died clean and stuff like that. And then he said something that pissed off Green Arrow, and, you know, he punched him in the face and was about to shoot him with an arrow until Black Canary, you know, stopped him, and they got him, like, you know, locked away. And then at the very end, this weird, like, kind of robot creature comes up to Black Canary. I don't know. I think it has, like, I think if you read the Birds of Prey, is there a Birds of Prey book?
No.
It might be in Green Arrow, because that's ending at 50 with something going on.
Yeah, so it's from this, like, weird shouter, like, where, like, I said, like, robot, and giving her a message that Green Arrow needs to be destroyed. So I guess that's probably why they're canceled. You know, next issue, he's probably will get destroyed or whatever. But, and then, I'll go with Uncanny X-Men.
Too big, didn't read. TLDR.
So, this is a pretty interesting story. There's like three separate stories going on from different. There's the Cyclops story, there's the Wolverine story, and then there's the Blindfold story. And they're all kind of like.
Wolverine's not back yet.
Yeah.
Return of Wolverine is until next week.
Oh, yeah. Well. Like, and like all three stories are like kind of all similar. It's just from their each character's kind of point of view. Cyclops is out looking around, still trying to find people, track any of the mutants down that he can find. Not really having any luck. Is getting into fights with like people that are just picking on regular mutants. Where he finds Blindfold. And she's giving, like, this cryptic message that, you know, like, they're all dead and stuff like that. And so eventually Cyclops shows up to this this rally they're having because there's a cure. There's supposed to be a cure they're working on to, you know, cure all the mutants and stuff like that. Like, that hasn't been done before. But so Cyclops gets into a big fight and Captain America shows up. And they have, like, this argument, you know, basically kind of like what they did at the beginning of, or at, like, the end of X-Men versus Avengers with, like, the, you know, you help everybody else out except, like, you know, my people, the mutants and stuff like that. And so there was this, they had this camera crew there, so Cyclops had this huge message to, like, any mutant, you know, out there to come meet me at, I think it was, like, where the old Winchester, like, you know, estate was. You know, I'll be there at midnight tonight. Anybody there, you know, meet me there. So, of course, nobody shows up except all of, like, the X-Men's villains. Like, you know, all the, you know, all the hate groups that, you know, try to murder him. And so, you know, they're like, oh, I get first dibs and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, you're all by yourself. And then you hear, like, snap and Wolverine's, like, in a tree. And he's like, he's nodding, you know. He jumps out and they, you know, they take care of everybody. And the last page is like this four, there's four panels. They're all stretched out long ways. And they're, the first two are the same of Cyclops' face going Logan. Then Wolverine's face going Slim. And then just looking at each other. And the last panel is Wolverine's like walking away. Like, all right, now that we're caught up, we have stuff, you know, we have work that needs done. And then so the next story, Wolverine, basically the same thing, but like from his point of view, and throughout the different, throughout Cyclops' story, there's been people were, like, gunning him down, and it turns out Wolverine's been taking him down without Cyclops knowing. He's been, like, watching over him and stuff like that. And it ends up the same way where him in the tree in the forest, you know, before they had the big fight. Blindfold's story is more on the wilder side, and it's messed up. I've seen some people upset because at the end she commits suicide, so a lot of people were upset about that. But I really like this issue. I'm looking forward to where this series is going now after that whole first 10, you know, big series, and after they get done with this of Age of X-Men stuff. So,
woo!
Yeah. And I want to kind of talk about Green Lantern, but I really don't. I'm just not really sure what's going on.
Like, okay, I haven't read it yet, so maybe when Josh comes back.
Maybe, yeah. But that's it.
Dave.
The Wrong Earth.
That crappy book.
Number 6.
Is that the
crappy book?
Is that the last issue, or?
I know. I love this issue.
Was it the last issue or the last issue of part one?
Yeah, I got to the final page and it said The Wrong Earth will return in 2020. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Wow. Oh. That's a long break.
Yeah.
I know. Especially when, if I read that...
It'll come out when the next issue of Doomsday Clock comes out. So.
If I read that in December, it'd be okay, but February, that's a different story. So I'm going to survive the whole year without more Wrong Earth. But I guess
see, that's a good thing. Because yeah. I was just talking on a message board about who I'm going to work on promoting, and when they were talking about the trades and they're going to have information, I responded back to them saying, good, because I'm going to stack. Because yeah. I am. Because I'm like, there's no other... High Heaven I wasn't thrilled with. I didn't... The first issue didn't grab me, but at least the other three, I'm going to have stacks and be saying, you want something different? Try
these.
Oh,
yeah.
Book club books?
Sure. Especially Captain Ginger.
Well, in The Wrong Earth, this was a good issue because both of the... Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man, they're both learning how to cope, how to deal with their new Earth, the new Earth they're on. Because in this issue, both of them on Earth Alpha, Dragonfly pays off one of the villains, Deuce, not to give up his secret identity. And on the other Earth, on Earth Omega, Dragonfly Man pays off the police because they found his hideout, the Bug House. And he pays them off. He pays the police off, so they won't... The crooked police, they're crooked on that earth. Not to give that up either. So, and they both quote Shakespeare, you know, to do a... I forget the exact quote, but it's to do... it's okay to do a little wrong, to do a great right. So it's really interesting, because they might not be as different as...
Okay.
As you think.
No, I can't remember from you said before. Do they ever explain like how they get switched? No. Or it just kind of happens.
Well, they went through a mirror. Yeah, they followed the bad guy through a mirror.
And along the same lines, you know, on Earth Alpha, they're having like a Dragonfly Man and Stinger Day, and the Dastardly League attacks, and Dragonfly poisons Chef Escargot with his dragon venom. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, he tells him, you know, I can do this because the people love me here. It's really interesting. Then on the last page, something totally crazy, they show a new Earth, Earth Zeta.
Uh-oh. You know? And they have their own...
Well, they no, just no, show, we they don't just know show what a it new is. Version of that number one
okay.
The villain. They don't show Dragonfly.
Okay.
I don't know if there's another Dragonfly on this Earth, but that's enough to get me. I'm
there you
really
go.
Excited.
So you're excited. Okay.
So I'm really excited.
So what era?
For 2020.
So what
probably
era?
Probably 90s.
Yeah. So yeah, what era do you think this one will be from? Like, you know, because you had
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell because it's just... number one, he seems like he's not a villain or some kind of billionaire or maybe like Maxwell Lord or something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I can't wait to find out. Red Sonja.
That was good.
Number one.
That was good.
It was really good for someone who hasn't bought a Red Sonja book.
Exactly. I don't think I've read a single Red Sonja book ever.
And, of course, because before I opened it up, I'm like, what is Mark Russell going to say about use Red Sonja to say? Because that's what he does. That's why I love reading his stuff, because he uses these characters to say something about the world. This book seems to be about cultures and assimilation of cultures. And it was funny. I don't know if, like, the real Red Sonja fans will like the humor.
Right, right.
But that's what makes me into the... Because it's... The story is, you know, Red Sonja has returned to her homeland, Hyrcania, and this dragon, the Magnificent, is annexing all these lands, and they send her letter, and it's, you know, so you decide to join the Zamorin Empire.
Well, first she shows up at this old, where, like, she was born but didn't grow up recently or anything. And she shows up back there, and they're like, oh, you're here. Okay, well, you're queen.
Yeah, she,
thanks, bye, see ya. And they like, hand her the kingdom without her doing anything, and she's confused by it.
Yeah. Which is funny in its own right.
Yeah, and there's nothing there. There's nothing in this place. They make many comments about that. They're not mostly a backward people, just very agrarian. Yeah. They don't have anything to offer this king who wants to annex them. But, yeah, and they send the guy, you know, saying, oh, we're going to annex you. And she's kind of like, yeah.
No. Yeah, and they're going to send teachers to teach them how to be like the Zamorans. And, you know,
but they'll always be slaves.
Yeah, and they're like, you'll be more like us than we are.
Yeah, it was very interesting, the pitch and all that, yeah.
But
because he had a prophecy that as soon as his empire stopped expanding, he'd die. So that's why he's annexing all these places.
Right.
But even like they put the one guy who refused him in a bag with rats and a goat, and they didn't know why the goat, but they put the goat in the bag too, and then threw it in the river.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really, really, really good.
You would have thunk it.
That seems like overkill.
It was. I think that was kind of the whole point. It was just. You know, and then somebody, you know, probably yelled, "And the goat!" And so that's what happened. Okay. And now it's tradition. But that was really, really good. That was a really good issue. And then you see him in the background with, you know, getting put in the bag. It was funny. But yeah, I don't think Red Sonja is going to stand for his silliness. But yeah, that was good.
Yeah, very good. Archie 1941, number 5, final issue. This was a good miniseries. I really enjoyed this. Starts on a really somber note with 4 wordless pages because in the cemetery, at the funeral of both Reggie and Archie, because they were killed in World War II in Northern Africa.
Okay.
I think Operation Torch. And so this issue is dealing with how everybody reacts to especially Archie's death, because his mom doesn't believe it. They don't have the body. They don't have the bodies of both of them. But they're assuming they died. And Archie's mom doesn't want to put the Gold Star banner outside on the porch to indicate a loss in their family, because he says Archie will be back. And Betty didn't go to the funeral. She can't deal with it either. She doesn't feel that Archie's dead.
Okay.
And
Mr. Lodge is all happy.
Is happy because he's been profiteering from the gas shortage. And Veronica gets mad at him for not going to the funeral either. Veronica went. But you do learn that Mr. Lodge did pay for Archie's memorial.
Okay.
So there's some layers there. That's what's good about the series, is it makes all the characters really human. It's not hokey.
Okay.
It's not hokey at all or over the top, and Mark Waid and Brian Augustin wrote this, and it was really good. Daredevil.
I read that.
Number 1. New volume by Chip Zdarsky.
What volume is he on now? Like
17? Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, Marco Cicchetto.
Too many.
Yeah. It picks up right after the previous volume when Charles Soule
Right. Left him in a coma, and now he's out of the coma.
Out of the coma through physical therapy.
So does that miniseries, like, take all place in his head? Or,
And he's trying to get back in the swing of things as Daredevil and having a tough time because he goes out, tries to stop three robbers at a liquor store, and he has a hard time with it. He's wondering if he's getting too old for this. And there's
don't say it, Pat.
Okay. I was thinking it, but...
there's interspersed with some scenes of Matt as a young kid in church and talking to his priest after talking about him from a young age learning to right injustices and losing his faith in God after he becomes blind. And then we have a tragic end that'll be one of the things going forward.
Right, one of the robbers that he stopped dies.
Yeah. And Mason Kingpin is still mayor of New York City.
Right.
And the cops are after. But I thought it was pretty good. I think Zdarsky's...
Mm-hmm. That was real good. I thought the art was real good.
Art was really nice. I think Zdarsky's becoming... If he's not, he's a top-tier writer now. He's doing a good job. He did a good job in Marvel 2 and 1 and all these series.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. Especially he wrote Jughead, too. Lastly, Avengers. Avengers number 14. This is the fall of Castle Dracula. This is the Vampire Civil War. This starts with the Shadow Colonel and his Legion of the Unliving.
Sure.
Taking over Dracula's castle in Romania.
How is this an Avengers? this is a Blade book.
Well, I know. Blade's in it. That's
what people buying Avengers want.
They're searching the castle for Dracula, and they just find an empty tomb.
It's like Jason
Aaron.
Whatever
happened to, like, Kang the Conqueror?
That was in the last run with the really weird... With the guy doing the Thor art. Oh, who's doing it? It's not bad art, but it's just odd art. And then they had a Kang story, but it was three different versions of Kang in different times getting the Avengers, and it was really, really confusing.
Okay.
It was a time travel
story.
But
that almost makes... That makes
sense.
It
does, but it was a time travel story with weird art, and it was just... I made it like two or three issues in and never went back.
When I think of the Avengers, I'm not
thinking
of Dracula.
Right.
It's like Jason Aaron's like, hey, Marvel, I really want to write a Blade book, and they're like, well, how about you write write an Avengers book instead?
I think he did it because, all these vampire clans are causing chaos all over the world, and Captain Marvel and Blade respond to this Roxxon plane in midair that's being taken over by vampires, and Blade's like, I can't talk now, Captain Marvel, it's time to murder the Danites. I think he did it all for that line. And let's see. Iron Man and Black Panther and Wakanda, the vampires are trying to steal vibranium. From there.
Why?
I don't know.
What do the vampires need with vibranium?
I know.
But okay.
And they want to get like a vibranium grills for their fangs.
Said it will give them
body
some,
armor.
Yeah.
Said it will give them some kind of edge in the war. And Ghost Rider and She-Hulk are under Manhattan in Monster Metropolis.
Oh, that's still a thing, too?
Yeah. To dealing with the vampires down there.
Do they ever explain why, She-Hulk... Because in the cover, she always looks, super big. She-Hulk was always kind of big, but not, actual Hulk kind of big.
No, they haven't said anything about that, no. Yet. And then at the end, we have... He and Jason Aaron introduced the Winter Guard a couple issues ago. And we have... At the end of this, we have someone show up at the Russian border asking the Winter Guard for asylum in Russia. So I thought it was really... I think it's been really entertaining. Jason Aaron's doing a good job, I think, with the book. And David Marquez did the nice art. And that's all I got. Yeah,
Yeah. The Furies.
I read that.
So I really enjoyed that.
So did I.
It starts off with Granny Goodness as a young woman. Kind of like Granny Goodness the early years and how she earned her place in Apocalypse.
But she didn't.
Right. Desaad actually did it, but... Well, and Desaad took credit for it, even though Granny was the one that killed her. Yeah.
But basically, Darkseid had to kill his mother to take the throne, and Granny is the one who actually did the deed, but it was from Desaad throwing her vial of poison to take care of it quickly, because she was having a rough time of it.
Yeah.
And then Darkseid shows up, and Desaad said, I killed her.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about Darkseid ever actually having a mom. I mean,
she wasn't very nice.
I mean, it makes sense that he would. That's never something I've never actually thought about.
Do we need to have the talk, Spencer?
No.
Okay.
When one god loves another god.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Then that then god has to kill the parents to
ascend to the throne.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she just, because she's a woman, she gets put in charge of the orphanage, and she was not happy about that.
No.
And the other ones all kind of mock her all the time. Plus, she had a little... knocked boots with Darkseid, and he kind of dismissed her after that, so...
Well, I mean, it's not like she could have told him no.
Right.
It got a little rapey in parts in that book. Because then it shows her later as she's training the Furies, and...
The thing that I love... So you have all the Furies who have these great names. Big Barda... And
Lasher,
but there were like twists on names and stuff that you can see Kirby did, and then I forget the new character, but her name is like a just like a normal name.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Yeah, Spencer, go grab a copy. No, hang on. Sorry, but. So it's kind of like in this new one is the leader of the Furies, but she's also the one who's really butting heads. Like this one guy wants to do individual training with her, and keeps groping her and stuff like that. And you can tell she's getting
very
mad.
Graphically in the book too.
Yeah,
it's
under F. There you go.
Actually, more graphically than I would have expected.
Yeah,
it's not a mature reader's book.
No.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's
the variant. Yep. The art was very, 80s art, too. It was good, but it was very different art. But,
Who is the artist?
Mello. Adriana Mello. I believe that's the name. Yeah, Adriana Mello. So you have Big Barda, Stompa, Mad Harriet, Lashina, Bernadeth, and Orly. It's like one of these names doesn't fit, because also one of these names isn't an original Fury, because she's the leader of the Furies and the most skilled, but because she's being sent to this guy for this individual training, you can kind of see what's going to happen. That's what I mean. Bernadeth, awesome names like that. Mad Harriet, and then Orly. Okay.
Yeah.
Just didn't fit.
So her and Barda end up on a mission to get a runaway, and Barda wants to take Mercy on the runaway, and I forget who the other character is. It shows up. It's one of the...
It was Steppenwolf's dogs or something. It's like an underling of Steppenwolf.
Okay, I thought they said it was like his uncle or something like that. I'm like, well, he's Darkseid's uncle, so what does that make this guy? But he was a weird blue guy. He almost looks like the chameleon with a blue head.
Oh, Steppenwolf's bastard.
Okay.
Yep.
So he gets
killed.
Things
did not turn out well for him.
No.
But I do this with all the books.
But I love their plan. Well, we're going to bury him in a comet and he'll burn up.
No one will ever find him. Yeah.
It's like, okay. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I love the art, but I'm curious to see... You know what's going to happen to Orally or whatever her name is.
Yeah, it's not going to...
Is it a miniseries? Or is
yeah, it's a six-issue miniseries. Yeah, so the next one around was Batman.
Yeah.
Red Batman.
Which is the first part of this four-issue crossover with The Flash. It starts off with the whole Justice League wins a battle, and as they're all talking about what they're going to do next, Batman disappears, and Flash takes off after him, and they end up in Central City, where someone had attacked the Flash Museum in such a way that statues were falling over and were going to, kill people. So, Barry confronts Batman because he's like, well, how did you know?
Yeah, well, I was just flying by and I heard the distress call, and it's like, no.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened. What Batman figures out is that Gotham Girl is the perpetrator in this. And then he explains to Barry who Gotham Girl is, because Barry didn't know who she was, and explains, kind of for people who forgot about the character, that she has powers, but the more she uses her powers...
Yeah, because she was, in, the first couple of story arcs.
Yeah.
And then nothing else, really, since then.
Yeah, her brother was killed, and then we find out she's trying to keep him alive, and something with her powers... is doing that. It's interesting. I'm glad to see they brought her back. I forget what book it was. It said Gotham Girl ends up killing Batman at some point. Which kind of means she has to make it out. Or it's she kills Batman and then Batman comes back, or, something to that effect. But yeah, it was a good issue. And we'll see what happens. You didn't read The Flash yet, have
Not
you?
Yet, no.
Okay. I'm interested to see how it carries on.
Just focusing.
Flash. You're focusing?
No, I was focusing to read stuff for tonight.
I gotcha. Yeah, so that's what I read.
That's it? Now it's all on me?
It's all on
the
you.
Pressure's on me?
Bring it home, man. You're back and
okay.
Clean up.
Okay, that's okay. I still have four. Spencer may have read one. He was holding out on me. The Savage Shores number 3. This is the one by Ram V from Vault, and just fascinating. So what's happened is there's a something with his bodyguard, who is like this ancient creature, has now been recruited into going with all of his people to fight this battle against these people that are coming to take over the kingdom. And it's him, a little bit more of his history, unable to say goodbye to the girl. And he goes off and fights. And at the very end, he's beaten, and they show up with guns, and he's, a spear guy. So all of a sudden he gets blown apart by these guns, and you see him laying on the ground, and all of a sudden his eyes just light up with fire. So it's only a 5-issue series, so we're just a little over halfway here. So it's just really, really very interesting. Another one where I'm going to get a bunch of the trade and just say, you want something different. This is really different, but it's beautiful. The art is absolutely beautiful. Really neat. Conan number 3. This one just keeps churning out Conan stories. Really good. Yeah, each one has been a one-shot with these two weird kids showing up at the end. In the very first one, it was about this witch that he defeated, and that somehow she's been resurrected with the help of these children, and they're gathering bodies off the battlefield because she lives on blood, and she wanted his blood because he was a great warrior.
He defeated her. Again.
Yeah. And then in the second one was just this nice story about these natives that he was always hunting, but then was taken in by them after he was injured and realized that they weren't necessarily bad. But then again, those kids show up at the end. And same thing in this one. Just a neat Conan story of him. There was this thing where he was a thief and they were going to hang him on this tree, And that was, it was like this big thing for the whole city, was this tree was their great place. And as the guy was about to swing the axe to cut off his arm, he goes, you know, I wouldn't lift that axe, you know, and by Crom, as the guy lifts the axe and he gets struck by lightning. And then the tree breaks and he gets free and the tree falls over. So now the whole city is mad at him. They finally beat him up and throw him into jail because he destroyed their, you know, the tree that the entire city is famous for. And, you know, now he's the enemy of the entire city. And then, yeah, eventually he gets out of it. But then these kids show up again. But it was good. It was, you know, neat, you know. But it's kind of neat, these little one-shot stories, instead of being drawn out.
It must be good if you're staying in with it up to
I was intrigued.
Like,
yeah, I'm intrigued to keep reading.
Normally it's like first issue, right, then second issue, yeah, maybe, then third issue is the guy having gotten.
I'm just, yeah, this one has me intrigued. And it's neat, there's a little text piece in each one. I haven't read the text pieces, but it's just kind of a neat little addition. Marvelous X-Men. This is the first one of the miniseries spinning out of Age of X-Men. You didn't read it?
No.
But it was marvelous.
It was, but it was just basically the story of the X-Men. There was a forest fire, and they had to go save that, and then it was getting close to this office building, and they went in there, but this office building was where all the mutants were grown, and they're, like, now all being grown in these little, like, egg hatchling things, and it was the first time Jean had actually seen one of those, I think it was Jean, and then X-23 grabs one of the babies and has flashbacks to Honey Badger and starts getting visions of Honey Badger and, you know, like, realizes something's wrong here, something's not right. And then there's a voice talking to Jean that I guess was in the Alpha, giving this thing saying, you know, making all these little sayings that she started quoting, and then, but the names are N. Avansur and Kitty Pride and a couple others.
See, I started, because you guys have always been talking about it, but I started listening to Word Balloon.
Okay.
And he had one with, I think it's a person.
Yeah, Lonnie Nadler.
Who wrote that issue. Okay. Was that Tim Sales who wrote
that? Tim Seeley, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was talking about, because, like, how he wasn't sure, like, with the first one, like, what made them, like, take Bishop away and stuff like that. I guess, like, they've outlawed all, like, love and affection. Because,
right.
I guess, in all, like, the super, or in the X-Men stories, that's kind of what gets people killed and stuff,
okay,
like, a whole bunch of times. So that's, like, why they must have took Bishop away.
Because he was bad.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was interesting setting up, you know, the further stuff. And then, I was just thinking then the new one, but it was the last issue that had all the little blurbs. If you want to see what's going on with this, check that. So, yeah, not bad. And then Old Man Quill, and I kind of really dismissed this one as, bah, you know, what's the point of this? You know, they're milking this too far. But it was interesting. Jermaine really made me read it.
He made you?
He said I should. He gave me the brief synopsis of it, and it sounded interesting. But basically, you have Peter Quill takes over. His dad was Emperor of Spartax, and he took over after his dad. And they're being attacked by this big religious cult. And instead of giving in to them or evacuating, he went to confront them because he's, you know, a fly-by-the-hip kind of guy. And he goes up with his ship, and he attacks their ship, and he makes it into the throne room. And the not the queen, because she's whatever, the priestess, is like, oh, that's so nice that you're here. Yes, we just destroyed your planet. And then she lets him go, and he goes back, and his planet has been destroyed, and his family and everything. So he's just, like, floating on the spaceship, drinking away, and just a shell of his former self. And then the Guardians show up, because they have one more mission they need to do, and he's, you know, not having it. They're all older.
So do we get to see, like, Old Man Rocket?
Yeah, they're all older, and then something happened with Groot, and it was like, you didn't even come to help us with Groot, or something, you know, so something bad happened to Groot. But then they go off and go on their little mission, and best thing, Rocket, you know, his big catchphrase is, I'll murder you, as he's shooting. And he's like, oh, my back. You know, it was just kind of funny, you know, that they made him older. And then the plane, they're going back to Earth, And the one of the things is they had called on the Avengers and everybody, and nobody came to help them when they were when Spartax was first being attacked. And it really bugged him. He's like, you know, screw those guys. Why would I ever want to help them? Well, they land back on Earth, and it is Old Man Logan time, where the villains had won and taken over. And so there were no Avengers to come help. So that was kind of a neat twist. I wasn't expecting that. So that ties in with Old Man Hawkeye. They're all...
Has the Hawkeye one ended?
A prequel. That ended. That was a prequel to Old Man
Hawkeye. I just knew it was long. It was like a 12.
Yeah, that one was 12.
Finished or not.
Yeah. And so this one. But yeah, it was good. It was interesting. And I may actually keep an eye on that one. So I didn't order many. I felt bad.
And so, yeah, I think you were out last week.
Yeah, I sold out real quick. Only because I was kind of looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I've really been cutting my shelf copies. Too many books I'm sitting heavy on, and it was just kind of a case of that one took the brunt of me being a little annoyed and going, I have two people ask for this book. I'm not ordering a lot, and I think I cut it to 7. So
that's still far for the shelf.
Right. But so that's what I read.
Well, then what's coming out next week?
Next week, we got all sorts of stuff coming. We have Age of X-Man, The Amazing Nightcrawler. This is one where Nightcrawler is in Hollywood, because he's now a movie star. But things are not all happy in Tinseltown. We have Anthem number 1, which is a video game. Avengers No Road Home is continuing. That's a weekly for 10 weeks. Batman The Price number 2. We have Crackdown number 1, which I think is another video game. Dazzler Facsimile Edition. Regretted not getting a copy of Dazzler when it first came out. Now, Dazzler is a very important book historically in comics. Does anybody know why? Class? Anyone? Somebody at home is screaming. They know the answer.
Well, they should have been here then.
They should have been here. It was the first direct market book. It was the first book that was not offered on the newsstand. It was only offered in comic book stores. That's why I have this job. I know these things. Like Layla Miller. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, number 1, was good. High Level, this is a new one from Vertigo. Yeah. Pat's very excited about this next one. Hulkverines.
Yep.
I don't know how you could not be this excited about a 3-issue little mini. Incursion, number 1. This is a new one. This is Valiant. A new one from Valiant. Love Romances. This is a Marvel one, just keeping the trademark on the name, but it was kind of funny because the cover had like two...
Shouldn't it come out like this week for Valentine's Day?
You can't plan these things, Pat.
My fault.
But it had like two robots on the cover that I thought was kind of funny. We have Return of Wolverine 5, so that Spencer will finally know where Wolverines come from. Sharky Bounty Hunter. This is a new one from Mark Miller about a intergalactic bounty hunter.
One riding, of his TV shows.
Yep, riding around in a modified ice cream truck. Stronghold. I'm not sure what that one is.
What is about ice cream trucks?
And then the book Dave, I think, is most excited for. Wolverine in the Infinity Watch. Because nothing says Wolverine like the Infinity Gauntlet. And then we also have Exo Manowar. That was for Josh, but I forgot Josh wasn't going to be here. But I figured I highlighted it anyway, so I'd say it. Because I'm nice that way.
So what's going on at the store?
At the store, we're doing Image Month. Next week is Book Club, Deadly Class. I have plenty of copies. Or if you're watching the show and want to see how closely it ties into the show, come get the book. We're doing Image Month all month long, which is double points on all Image graphic novels. That's about it. I will be out of town most of next week. I'm going to Comics Pro, so if you have any questions you wanted me to ask any of the publishers about what they're doing, what's going on.
I don't think they'd answer.
Let me know. I know. I have some questions. But let me know. So I will not be here for the podcast, and next week's podcast will go up when I get back. So I'm not going to crash teach these guys how to do it. So you'll have a little delay, and I apologize for that. But it'll be extra special good because I won't be here. So I think that's all I got. As always, website PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics.
The name of your store. Come on, man.
Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So that's all I got. Let's see. Pat.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. Well, they will. I won't. Or maybe I will. I'll add an addendum at the end. We'll see ya.